Thanks for listening to our podcast. We've got more information and additional resources at probe.org/podcast. And be sure to check out our life-changing Summer Mind Games camp for high school and college students.
Can companies with morals and ethics that follow the golden rule compete successfully in today's marketplace? Well, Kirby Anderson offers an answer now on Probe.
At the turn of the century, America was hit with a tsunami of corporate corruption. Names like Enron and WorldCom became synonymous with greed and corporate leadership. Today, with even strengthened oversight, cases such as backdated stock options at Apple continue to plague us. Looking back, our history is filled with robber barons, ruthless company towns, and shady deals. In the light of this discouraging reality, we're asking this question: can the just succeed? Can people living by biblical principles successfully compete in a capitalist economy without compromising? Well, let's begin our exploration by considering the overall cultural climate surrounding our free market economic system. Starting at the top, what standard is being set by our business leaders? One recent poll showed that less than 20% of Americans had confidence that CEOs would consistently make job-related decisions that were morally appropriate. Is this skepticism founded? After all, most CEOs have worked their way to the top. Shockingly, almost 50% of corporate executives in a recent Tulane University study were willing to commit fraud in role-playing exercises. What was particularly disturbing was that these same executives had affirmed their commitment to the highest ethical business standards. Perhaps we can rely on our workforce to apply their solid middle-class values to curb the effects of corporate leadership. But sadly, a recent study found that 48% of workers admitted to acting illegally or unethically in the workplace during their previous year. Over 30% of them said that their coworkers condone questionable ethics by showing respect for those who achieve success using them. In other words, cheating is not only condoned, it is respected. Well, what about our young people? Are they bringing a standard of personal values that will clean up the marketplace in the future? Well, from 1969 to 1989, the number of students who let someone copy their work rose from 58% to 97%, and 3 out of 4 students admitted to engaging in serious cheating within the previous year. People emulate behavior they believe will make them successful, and perhaps today's Christians should join Habakkuk as he complained to God, "Why do you look with favor on those who deal treacherously? Why are you silent when the wicked swallow up those more righteous than they?" It appears that they will be dealing with a culture of dishonesty in the marketplace for the foreseeable future. Tomorrow we'll look at how people who consider themselves to be good end up doing bad things.
You've been listening to Probe with your host, Kirby Anderson. To get your free copy of Steve Cable's transcript, Can the Just Succeed? Go online to probe.org. Again, that's probe.org. And join us next time here on Probe.
This week we're asking the question, can the just succeed in today's marketplace? Now, most Americans consider themselves trustworthy, but evidence shows a culture of cheating is rampant throughout our society. So why are all of these good, trustworthy people behaving in ways that are not trustworthy? Well, Paul tells Timothy, "But those who want to get rich fall into temptation and a snare, and many foolish and harmful desires which plunge men into ruin and destruction." You know, when our focus is accumulating money, we are tempting ourselves to unethical behavior. Now, John Maxwell identifies 3 primary reasons good people are led astray in the workplace. First, we do what is convenient. Many times doing the right thing is a lot more trouble than the convenient thing. Have you ever discovered that you were given too much change, but it was too much trouble to return it? Second, we do what we must do to win. After all, everyone is doing it. One of my coworkers often stated, "If you can't lie on a proposal, when can you lie?" In other words, promise whatever you need to get the job and try to wiggle out of it later on. Third, we rationalize our unethical choices with relativism. We tell ourselves that our ultimate intentions are good, and besides, if it's good for me, then it must be good. All 3 of these relate to putting our success ahead of our values. Ethics is about how we meet the challenge of doing the right thing when that will cost more than we want to pay. A 4th reason could be called the slippery slope. We think as long as we don't directly break the rules, then we're okay. So to get ahead, we push the envelope. One day we wake up to find that we have gone beyond the boundary. We're now on a slippery slope where the more we try to cover up or undo our actions, the more we find ourselves breaking the rules. You know, no one at Enron started out with the objective to wipe out $100 billion in shareholder value overnight through unethical business practices. But a culture of pushing the ethical boundaries will inevitably result in a culture of corruption. Proverbs warns us that when we get into this mode, we have a hard time telling right from wrong. Proverbs 4, verses 18 to 19 says, "The way of the wicked is like darkness. They do not know over what they stumble." Well, tomorrow we'll look at the Christian perspective on the subject of capitalism as we talk about this very important question, can the just succeed? Today, as we consider the question, can the just succeed in business in a competitive marketplace, let's consider the impact of our economic system. Now, people are rarely neutral when it comes to capitalism. In fact, some blame capitalism for the excesses of unethical behavior. But capitalism does not fare as badly as many communist and socialist economic systems that have raised corruption and graft to the highest levels. On the other hand, some commentators seem to say that one of the tenets of Christianity is a capitalist free market system. This premise does not hold up to scrutiny either, as Christianity has flourished under a variety of economic systems. So before we go any further, a simple definition of capitalism is needed. Under capitalism, private individuals own the resources and make decisions on how to use these resources based upon an expectation of return. The promise of capitalism is that those who can provide valuable services better or more efficiently are rewarded with more resources, resulting in more resources for everyone. However, one can approach capitalism from either a secular or a faith perspective. In secular capitalism, the purpose is to return a profit, the standard of conduct is the rule of law, and the measure of success is accumulation of wealth. Under a Christian view of capitalism, the purpose for business is to honor God, the standard of conduct is the golden rule, and the measure of success is the ability to bless others. A secular capitalist is accountable to only himself and his shareholders. A Christian business person is accountable to God with a responsibility to all his stakeholders, including customers and employees. Now, capitalism is not essentially Christian, but as Max Weber pointed out, Christianity is good for capitalism in many ways, including an excellent work ethic motivated by Paul's admonition in Colossians to work with sincerity of heart as unto the Lord. Also, a willingness to put integrity above profits and to forego investing in businesses which degrade or take advantage of others. As Proverbs 28 says, "Better is the poor who walks in his integrity than he who is crooked, though he be rich." And third, a long-term perspective that is willing to forego near-term gratification for long-term benefits, such as investing in hospitals and schools. Greed is not what makes capitalism successful. Trusting resources to those who are productive and want to do something of significance is the key to long-term economic success. Can the just succeed amid the corrupting influences in our free market economy? Well, Christians have very different opinions about how we should relate to the secular business world. Some, like the Amish, attempt to isolate themselves from its corrupting influence. Others, like the Puritans, believe that excelling in business was evidence of one's election. In recent years, the trend has been for Christians to segregate their spiritual church life from their secular work life. Thus, they can conform to the compromised values of our culture without impacting the spiritual aspects of their life. However, since God's truth is the truth in all aspects of our lives, this attitude could not be truth. You know, out of 22 letters to churches in the New Testament, not one advised Christians to quit participating in the Roman economic system. These letters did not encourage all Christians to leave their secular vocation for a monastery or foreign mission field. Instead, some people are given as gifts to the church, devoting their energies to preaching the gospel and equipping the church for ministry. But the majority of us are called to be ministers in our vocation, whether as business leaders or a laborer or a stay-at-home mother. As Christians, we're called to be a redeeming influence in the place where non-Christians can be found, and that's the marketplace. As we enter the business world, we should be clear as to our purpose. Four clear biblical purposes for Christians in the workplace are, number one, to honor Christ through my attitude, performance, and integrity. Whenever asked to state my career objectives, I tell them that since I was called to work heartily as unto the Lord and to serve with sincerity of heart, my career objective is to fulfill whatever role creates the most value for my employer. That statement has always been warmly received. Number two, to share Christ in my unique mission field. We interact with more non-Christians in the business world than just about any other venue. Number three, to provide for the physical needs of my family. And number four, to be able to share financially with others who might need help. Now, Jesus summed it up for us when he said, "Let your light shine before men in such a way that they may see your good works and glorify your Father who is in heaven." Our good works will not be seen if we confine them to the walls of the church. Can the just succeed in business amid the corrupting influences in our free market economy? What are some of the characteristics of a just business? Well, Christian behavior is characterized by the golden rule taught by our Lord. Treat others the way that you would have them treat you. We're not going to deceive, covet, or steal in our business dealings. We're going to treat others with respect and with grace. We're going to choose integrity over profit. Since we all like to win, does the golden rule mean that I always need to let my competitors win? Well, I don't know about you, but I absolutely hate it when someone lets me win. Everyone loses if we allow inferior products to claim the market because no one wants to compete with the status quo. Think of those wonderful products from the Soviet Union. Competition promotes greater productivity, which creates more resources and opportunities even for your competitors. Problems arise not from a competitive system, but from greed caused when some try to hoard wealth. So a Christian business will compete aggressively but fairly. They will not compete by abusing their employees, customers, or suppliers. Wouldn't a company or individual applying these principles put themselves at a disadvantage? After all, when swimming with sharks, a guppy will always get eaten. Well, Jerry Fleming analyzed corporations who placed a premium on a high standard of ethical behavior. He discovered that these businesses typically induce others to behave ethically towards them. There is also a strong correlation between a firm's ethics and lower employee turnover, resulting in greater productivity from experienced, content employees. At the bottom line, he found a significant positive correlation between a firm's ethical behavior and its economic performance. Companies promoting unethical practices such as Enron pay a price in the long run. Ethically responsible firms have created a return 8 times better than the return on the Dow Jones Industrial Average over a period of 30 years. So there is hope for the Christian in the business world. Now remember, applying Christian principles in the business world is not a magic shield against failure or a way to always avoid criticism or an assurance that your product will always be the best. But it is a part of our calling to follow Christ and the best way to conduct business and a consistent companion in long-term success. No matter the financial results, we are a success when we are Christ ambassadors in the workplace.